Welcome to the Future of Teamwork podcast, where we explore cutting-edge strategies to keep teams human-centered, drive innovation, and empower you with the tools and insights needed to help your team excel and thrive in today's rapidly changing world. Your host is Dane Gruneveld, a seasoned expert with over 20 years of experience in enhancing team dynamics and innovation. Today, Dane is joined by Patrick Salimi. Patrick is the author of A Firm Worth Building. He's an expert in helping attorneys, CPAs, and advisory firms scale through effective systems and strategies. With a background in franchising and digital platforms, Patrick has trained hundreds of professionals to optimize their practices and escape the trap of price competition. His book distills 30 key lessons for business owners, covering branding, storytelling, and generating high-quality referrals. In today's episode, Patrick shares insights into the power of collaboration through the National Referral Network, the country's first functional digital family office. They explore how edification, the building up of others, drives trust, strengthens professional relationships, and accelerates business growth. Patrick also breaks down the concept of trust compression and how storytelling, collaboration, and warm handoffs can transform both client experiences and internal teamwork. Whether you are leading a professional services firm or managing cross-functional teams, this conversation is filled with actionable strategies to foster deeper connections and long-term success. So, teamwork makes the dream work, and we're here to inspire your next collaborative breakthrough. Gather your team or put on your headphones, and let's dive in together.
Welcome to the Future of Teamwork podcast. My name's Dane Gruneveld, CEO of the Huddle 3 Group. And today I'm joined by Patrick Salimi up in Sacramento. Patrick is the Director of Client Services at Protection Point Advisory, where he's actually leading the head trainer of the National Referral Network. Patrick's also the co-author of A Firm Worth Building. So they're doing a lot of great work on building professional services firms through that National Referral Network. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thanks for having me, Dane.
It was really cool just learning a little bit more of your story pre-show. So maybe we start by you sharing your journey to getting to this point, you know, where you've come from, how you've come to be finding all of this energy and impact.
Absolutely. Happy to share my background. So I tell everybody, Dane, I grew up in Canada. So if a boot slips out, I apologize in advance. Been in the U.S. 22 years, and I became a citizen about a year ago, which was a huge moment for me. It takes a long time for Canadians. I grew up on the nerdy side of this industry, which was learning options and technical analysis, working with large firms, family office type firms, and large investment individuals. And from there, I kind of graduated to doing webinars in 2010 before people knew what a webinar is. So I was doing a lot of digital work. And that is a part of it. And I was very fortunate. I was surrounded by some of the best people that understood what I call inter-industry collaboration. And so that led us to today developing what we call the digital family office through our firm and the National Referral Network. So the National Referral Network is really the country's first functional digital family office. And today, like you said, I lead the NRN training team when we train our new partners on when they come on board on how to do this intra-industry edification and teamwork.
That's neat. And tell me, did that work precede the book, A Firm Worth Building, or did they kind of happen together?
Oh, yeah. That actually started. What's interesting is we would train. So I've been very fortunate. I've trained hundreds of law firms and CPAs on how to do this intra-industry teamwork. And usually after that, you know, it's about a 4 to 5 hour session that we would do with them over a few days. Almost everybody would say, you guys should put this in a book. You guys should put this in a book, because it was concepts they'd never heard about. And so we did. We actually put that in a book, and we didn't realize how much effort it is to actually put a book out.
Yeah.
But today, I actually use that as our training manual. As our success manual with them. So I tell them, read this chapter, and then we'll come back together. Yeah. So yeah, the answer is yes. It was a lot of doing it until they said, hey, put it in a book.
That's so cool. And what I'm understanding, Patrick, from this National Referral Network is that you're really, and the digital family office concept, you're embracing the power of the ecosystem, all of these different firms that have ways of sharing their stories and holding each other up. And you touched on in the book, the chapter on edification. So maybe we dive in in there, and you can tell us a little bit more about how what edification is and how it works.
Absolutely, Dan. And I love analogies. So I love what you said about the ecosystem. But if I can give you an analogy, the trouble with today's industry is that you've got that ecosystem with roots that are well established, but none of the roots are touching each other. So what we've done is we've created an ecosystem where the roots are interconnected, right? They understand each other, they communicate with each other. And so back to that concept of edification, I'll give you the simplest example. If I had a client that just met me, say this client's got $3 million, and I'm spending all this time telling my own personal story and I'm trying to edify myself in front of the client, you know what? It's going to get somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But think about this for a second. What if I told my story, but I also shared the story of a couple of other people in the company or even within our team in the industry? If I introduce that client to somebody else in that group, and that person who's been built up in front of my client says, hey, have you heard Patrick's story? Let me tell you about Patrick. And they build me up. That goes a lot further than I could ever do on my own. And that's the triangle of edification. And unfortunately, Dane, to be frank, egos get in the way of doing that.
Yeah.
So one of the first things we teach everybody is break egos apart and go ahead, learn your story, an effective story, learn the story of other people in the industry and the team, build them up in front of the person or the client and let them do the building up for you. And
yes,
miracles happen when you do that.
That's super neat. And so edification in that context is really about serving others. Is that the best way to look at it?
That's one way to put it. Absolutely. And it truly is about having an enlightened self-interest. Let me call it that. What I mean by an enlightened self-interest is I want to grow my business, but the way to do that, the way for me to build myself up is to have others build me up. And the only way the person is going to listen to others is if I've already built them up, told their story.
Yeah.
And this goes back to, in the book, we've got information and a great chapter on telling your story, right? What is an effective story and what to touch? Because in my training of dozens and dozens of professionals, I find they're really good at what they do, but they're terrible at telling their story.
Yeah.
Their personal story.
It's a superpower.
What is it that makes someone say, I'm going to listen to you? This is different. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, you see so much now across different, articles, publications, podcasts around the power of storytelling, particularly as AI is starting to do a lot of the grunt work, that it's very human. It's a great way to create that connection. I like the way you described connecting the roots through the ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, for example, you take a look at our network, any of the top professionals running in the National Referral Network. I could call up right now one of the attorneys in Southern California who's a very successful person in the network. You could ask them, tell me Patrick's story. And they'll tell you pretty much what I just said to you.
Right? Yeah.
And I happen to know his story. So if I'm going to take a client, I want to put that client in front of him. The worst thing I can do is say, hey, I've got a really good attorney. I'm going to connect you to. The best thing I can do is hit the three highlights of his story, put the client there, and then have him tell the same story. All of a sudden, that client doesn't need to be sold anymore. That's a done deal.
There's social proof and trust.
There's a chapter in the book called trust compression. That's another concept that I've been talking about for years. Trust compression is having systems in place that reduces the time required for someone to trust you and say, I want to do business with you.
Yeah.
And trust compression is actually sits on top of edification. So edification is a part of it, is one of the pillars. The other one is storytelling, edification, and of course the third one is having proper systems of introduction.
Interesting. So storytelling, the edification.
And systems. To actually implement that, right?
Yeah. And this clearly works well when you've got professional services firms referring clients to other professional services firms.
It does. It's a foundational for it. And actually inter-office as well. It works very well. But basically, again, back to your firm, Dane, if I want to refer someone to you, right?
Yeah.
Worst thing I can do is give your phone number to someone.
Yes.
Or vice versa, or even emails these days. People are inundated with what I call digital noise.
Yeah. Right?
There's just too much going on. And so one of the things we teach in the network is schedule someone on the person that you want to refer on their calendar for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Show up for 5 minutes yourself with the client and just do an introduction and leave.
Yeah.
That is a requirement in the network. And you'll find appointments are never missed and people are not sitting there going, sell me. They're leaning forward saying, ooh, tell me more. I heard about
That's brilliant. People. So there's a real network effect of trust and that edification that you suggest means that when people are getting on the call, they already kind of know what to be excited about because one of their advisors has already, you know, teed them up.
That's right. The story has been told. A warm introduction has been made. And then that person steps off. So networking in the United States, in my opinion, has been broken.
Mm.
It's been all about throwing people. And here's back to Patrick's analogies, Dane.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, think of your business as a pickup truck, right? Mm-hmm. You've got this box of clients and your job is to get as many as possible. One of the clients knocks on that back window and says, hey, Dane, can you refer me to a CPA? You look around on this highway and you see a truck that says CPA and you toss that client and you hope that they land in the back of that bed properly.
Yeah.
That's wrong. The best thing that you can do is build what I call a train. So think about this. Now you've got a cart in the front full of clients and what client says, Dane, can you refer me to a CPA or somebody in HR or a tech person? You say, absolutely. You take the client by the hand, you go to car number three.
Yes.
You sit them down in front of someone and you say, this person here is a master at what they do. They're going to take care of you and report back to me what they found. And you walk away.
That's
now,
cool.
You're gold and the person that you refer to is gold. And that person is always going to be having that meeting happen. Because what I find a lot of networking meetings, they don't happen.
And yeah, they don't. You're right. Networking meetings are hard and they're easy to kick.
That's
down
right.
the road. You turn right. up, you look at your calendar and you're like, someone said I should speak to this person, but it's not a burning interest. And
exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, like every professional has got, you know, 8 to 10 pots in the back burner. And the last thing you want to be is one of those pots. So we bring everything front and center using the systems, edification and storytelling to create what we call trust compression, reducing that time. And by the way, in our industry, just a quick note, to onboard a digital client, say I'm in California and I've got clients in Virginia, Florida, Utah. To onboard, say, a $4 million client in our industry is typically about a 3-month process, you know, for them to hear about you, learn proposals. It's 4 weeks with our company. It's just incredible. And the reason for that isn't because, you know, I'm a good salesperson. I'm not. I'd starve if I had to sell cars. It's actually because the attorney that referred us followed all of those edification and storytelling steps.
That's brilliant. So let's play out the inter-office story because a lot of our businesses, you know, this clearly works when you're referring customers who are paying customers, but a lot of our listeners are also running large organizations where there's like an internal supply chain or an internal relationship where sales and operations and finance need to team up. So I'm hearing that this approach could work equally as well in just driving the impact of a large organization as it can a network of small organizations.
Absolutely. It was a requirement for us. So let's start with us, right? I don't think any individual client touches just one person in a large organization. They touch multiple people from the front desk person all the way to the person that's servicing them or anybody else in that organization. So when I call inter-office, if you walk into Protection Point Advisors today and you ask one of our client support services, tell us the PPA story.
Yeah.
It's the same story I would tell.
Yes.
It's the same story our financial planning team would tell. So it's just that ability to have the same story told by multiple people. And by the way, Dane, part of trust compression is having three people tell you the same story, right? Once you hear it from three different people, it becomes the truth in the client's head. So the reason why inter-office storytelling and inter-office collaboration or edification is important is I want you to, and I see this in law firms, by the way, There are so many firms where one person is not doing anything for the other person that the client's being referred to. Nothing. They're not telling the story. They're not edifying them. Sometimes they may even de-edify them. That's in the worst case. Say, you know, if they screw up, let me know.
Tell me more about that. So you call that de-edification.
De-edification comes primarily from egos. You know, you've got, high-performing professionals. You can have someone that just thinks they're the greatest out there and everybody else is mediocre within the organization. And I'm just having a candid conversation with you today, Ben, because I see it all the time. So at best, they're not doing anything, and at worst, they're de-edifying. And de-edification, it's in the book under de-edification. If you do it wrong, what you're doing is you're setting the person up that's going into that meeting up to fail. That person is thinking they're looking for potential flaws, where instead, if I was referring, so I'll give you an example. Many of my clients, they start with the client services, then they come to me and they go to the financial planning team. Three different people, right? It is the job of the client services team to edify me. So when the client comes here, they're already looking forward to this person who knows what they're doing. When the client comes to me, I'm going to edify my financial planning guy and say, let me tell you, Mark, he's the Indiana Jones of financial planning. I love little phrases like that, right? So when my client's going to my financial planning team and he's sitting in front of Mark, for example, who's the head of that team, he's already sitting back going, well, I want to listen to what this guy has to say because he's been built up, right?
Yeah.
And so what we're doing in inter-office edification is making sure that the client is excited and not worried. Because even when a client says yes to you, they're still looking for holes. They're still looking for holes in what's going on. So we kill that. We create that excitement rather than constantly looking to see what can go wrong. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's brilliant. And I've seen it in, again, going back to large organizations, I've seen it time and time again where, you'll sell something to a customer and they get it. And then you're like, 2 weeks later, they call you back. Oh, this thing's not working the way that we wanted it to, the widget or the feature in the software product. And you're like, okay, well, I'm going to send you to customer service. Mm-hmm. And if they, like you said, if they don't do a great job, just let me know, rather than, hey, I'm going to send you to Betty in customer service. She's a rock star. She knows how this thing works. She can help you really quickly turn it around. It may just be a customer education piece that we need to get right with your team.
Precisely.
You know, bring her in.
Nail right on the head. Yeah. I love it. That's a great example. And by the way, better yet, let's say that experience has happened. Why would I just send them to Betty instead of connecting them through a quick call to say, let me tell you about Betty. Betty walks on water. And Betty, I want you to meet Steve here. He loves our product, but he's just bumped into something. Can you please take care of him and let me know what happened? That client now all of a sudden feels like
that's great
you're
service.
In the hands of someone that's being taken care of, rather than feeling like what the client that gets tossed from the back of this bed to that bed. And that's that interconnectivity. And I can't emphasize that enough.
And that's, I mean, with this whole loneliness epidemic and, to your point, disconnected entities, team members, it's great to just have that human touch of connection. So I'm really glad that you reemphasized that.
And then, by the way, we are 100% digital. This is what shocks people. Like, I have yet to meet clients that I've had for 4 years in person. When I say that to other advisors, they don't believe it. And the reason it works is because you've got a digital group of people that are completely separate from each other, but they've learned how using trust compression to stay connected and give what I call the client that warm blanket of connectivity. So the client's always feeling like Joe knows Mark and Mark knows what Joe is doing and Joe, and they're all wrapped around this client. Doesn't matter if they don't see them in person. So there's magic inside of digital that you cannot even do physically.
Yeah. That's brilliant. It makes me think, like, the way that you explained the process is very well built and clear. So I'm following that. How do you get the different providers to know each other in the first place? Do you create events where people share in their stories? Like, if you've got a CPA and a lawyer that are going to be referring business to each other, How do they build that knowledge of each other's story in the very first place?
That's a great question. So I can tell you the number one reason, again, working with attorneys, the number one reason attorneys and CPAs and professionals don't refer is they're afraid of what the client's going to experience. It's the same for me. I have a $3 million client. I refer them to an attorney. They do a bad job. I look terrible. I might lose a client.
Yeah.
So the way we do that is we've built a culture in the network, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we do have an attorney or any member, again, this is, could be someone that provides digital services, tech services. We even have a funeral home looking to offer services, right? First, we take them through the training on the culture of how it is that we operate. We talk about that. But at Protection Point Advisors, we hold everything from annual launches to we do approximately 70 webinars a year. And these are live. We do something like 24 trainings. This is Zoom per year. Yep. So we invite these professionals to come together, tell their stories in those meetings. And as a result, what you've got is people that know each other. Now the attorney's going to go, oh, now I know Joe, the CPA, and I know his story, and he understands what the sandbox, what we call the NRN sandbox. Everybody plays nice in the sandbox.
Yeah.
And so that fear goes away, right? But to your point, it doesn't happen overnight. It does take a couple of 3 weeks for the person to really get to know other stories and learn from other professionals.
So they're all learning each other digitally too,
the
different providers. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we have our annual launch coming here, and we have something like 100 professionals from the NRN that are coming to that. They learn from each other. I see people taking notes when someone says something. They're out there taking notes. Oh, I should use that in my practice, right? So one of the things, for example, Dane, we put together is something called the Client Success Manual, right?
Yep.
The Client Success Manual is, after a client's onboarded, we'll spend 20 minutes teaching the client how to not to shoot themselves in the foot using this. But you know what it really is? It's a 20-minute opportunity for me to edify everybody else in the team and rebuild the value proposition.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about that, and I see many people go, oh, I should do that. So attorneys are doing that, CPAs are doing that. And as a result, I'll spend 20 minutes pointing out other team members for the client, telling their stories.
Yeah.
I'm doing 20 minutes of storytelling for the client.
Yeah, which is fun.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And
it ties in, there's a big theme that I'm following right now around mattering.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference between mattering and belonging, belonging is feeling accepted and included by a team or a network of professionals. Mattering is feeling like the work you do is important to others. And again, you know, taking your approach from the network of providers to one large organization with lots of departments, it sounds like if you had, you know, the accounting team and the customer support team and the sales team more regularly sharing their stories about how they work and how they support customers and how they can help each other from shooting each other in the foot or you know, the customer, that would lead me to believe that you're going to create more awareness of those stories. That edification allows everyone to pull each other up, and you're going to get better teamwork even within that organization.
And what you just said, you know, mattering versus belonging. I never heard that actually put it that way. I love that. I'm stealing that thing. Just
go
so
for
you
it.
Know. I love that. And I think you're 100% correct in the sense that a lot of people are tolerating other professionals.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my, it's a word I don't like. They tolerate other professionals rather than absolutely edify them. So the edification, by the way, part of edification, two things happens from proper edification. One, the longevity of the client. So for us, the average person in our industry stays 3 years with a firm. Our average is 11.
Wow, that's a big lift.
It's a huge, and the other thing, Dane, this is the thing. I've lost two clients here in the past few years, both of them to the almighty, but their children stayed with us. Where 90% of the time, children leave the firm when the client passes. So edification creates this warm feeling for the client to stay. It makes that longevity happen. The second thing edification does is it teaches the client what to say about you on referrals, right? So referrals start to increase when you do proper edification, because what you're really doing is teaching the client how to tell your story. If they've heard your story from three different people and their cousin says, who is your tech person? or who's your CPA, they're going to say, let me tell you what this firm does. They're going to recruit the same three things they've heard. And I will walk an example is after this meeting, I actually have a meeting with the brother of one of my clients. And when I met with him, he's all the way across the country. He's got over $3 million. I think in the second meeting, he didn't need anything else because his sister had already spent time edifying the heck out of us, just telling our story. So I love what you said. It's that edification takes it from just belonging to something to going to the next level where it matters. The person in the client's head, you matter.
Which is so cool. So you're actually, and I don't think I'd caught that yet, you're not only getting through this process of storytelling and inter-office storytelling, inter-industry storytelling, it's not just providers referring customers to each other. You now start getting customers referring other customers too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's what I call, Dan, I call it digital lollipops. Right.
Yeah, okay.
So are you handing digital lollipops to your existing clients? So again, back to my training with attorneys, I tell them if you've got, say, 500 clients that have bought your services in the last 3 years,
yeah,
those are 500 converts that you've never used. They believed in you to put their life in your hands.
Yeah.
Why are they not out there talking about you to other people? It's because you didn't give them a digital lollipop to hand out, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Using edification, what we're teaching is what to tell about us to the client, right? And so if three people, I'll give you an example. I'm just going to shoot from the hip. Dane's a great soccer player.
Yeah.
Right? He's a great CEO, right? And he's a great father.
Yeah.
If three people say that about you, the fourth person is going to say, let me tell you about Dane. He's a great soccer player. He's a great CEO and a great dad.
It goes viral.
It gets viral. And so people know what to say about you. But that comes back to the original of, do you have a precise story that someone can repeat? So storytelling, learning to tell your story is the beginning of it all.
So let's dive into that then, Patrick. So learning to tell your story. If I'm head of a law firm or if I, run the accounting department, either way, where do I start knowing how to tell my story so others can share it?
Great, great example. So I spent probably an hour of my training with anybody that comes into the National Referral Network. And I, first I send them the book and I refer them to the book. I say, go read that so that they learn. But the foundations of storytelling are, here it is. Nobody really cares where you went to school. I'm going to tell you. And everybody starts to do with that. So I tell everybody, your story has to have four elements, right? Here's the four elements of the story. The industry, the company, what you guys do, and what it looks like if I became a client. Those are the four elements of a story. The industry would be, Mr. Smith, you're coming to become a client of Protection Point Advisors. Do you even know how the advisory service industry works out there? Most people say no, right?
Yeah.
So I'll take 30 seconds and I'll tell them a little bit about how insurance works and why we're different. We're a little bit different on the wealth management. So that's the industry. The company, I'm going to spend probably 15 seconds to say, look, we weren't born yesterday. We've been here for years.
Yeah.
We're $500 million and growing. So just a little bit so the client knows it's not a mom and pop shop in the basement.
Yeah. Right?
But if that is, that has its own value.
Sure.
The basement has its
own value. Yeah.
Learn to shine the light. That's the industry. And then what do you do? Like what exactly is this product in process? Is this the only meeting we're going to have and you're going to ask for a credit card? Or are we going to have four meetings? So I know what this process is, right? And ultimately, a little bit of what I call vision. Like, what does it look like if I'm a client? Am I going to become a client and I'm never going to hear from you again? Or are you going to meet with me once a year to check on me? Right?
Yeah.
So I'm building it. That's a story of who you are, what the company is, what the process is, and what it looks like if I become a client. And if you tell that story effectively and you hit on three highlights every time, the next person who tells that story hits on three highlights.
Yeah.
That's how storytelling is done.
It builds it. I really like that structure.
I shortened the 1 hour meeting into
it's a good abbreviation.
Like 2 minutes, but that's basically, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. And I keep playing with this large organization versus network of organizations. So if I now put myself in the head of the accounting department, maybe maybe industry is more like the function in that setting. So, hey, Patrick, the way that accounting works here is that we're going to send out the invoices for all the customers that you're selling because you're in the sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to make sure that we get paid and that we allocate the payments to the right accounts, and that that translates to, you know, buying follow-on services or paying commissions or whatever else it might be for your sale to actually become effective and add value to the customer. So you could almost like change the context slightly if it's an internal collaboration
absolutely.
Of teams versus an external.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, back to storytelling at the end of the day is making sure that the client knows what the experience is going to be like and why you're different. If I was going to boil it down, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm constantly surprised at how professionals will finish an initial meeting with a client. And at the end of it, the client doesn't know what the next steps are.
Yeah,
they don't know what this process is, right? They had an initial meeting and it's like, we're going to meet again. Great. Is this one of 10 meetings? One of three meetings?
Yeah.
Right? And things like summary letters, we talk about that in the book.
Yeah.
So important, right? When you're done with a client, shoot them a summary letter that says, these are the three bullet points we talked about.
Yes.
Are we in agreement on that? Or in the inter-office one, like you were talking about, right? Yeah, absolutely. We're the accounting group, to your point, and we're going to send you over here, and you're going to have some great folks over. In fact, let me introduce you personally.
Yeah, I love that.
Right. And that's the most, it's called a warm handoff. Right. In the digital world, we're used to connecting people through emails. And you know what? If that works, it's efficient. But in my opinion, it's a lot easier to keep a client for 10 years than to have to find one every 3 years.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm efficient.
Yeah, right? For sure. And it's the same internally with teams. Like, you don't want to burn out your team members. It's much better to help your colleagues in accounting or in customer service to enjoy their work and work well with you, than to get fed up that, hey, sales always gives me terrible, you know, purchase orders, which I then now need to go and get the details sorted out before we can actually get paid.
And
there's just this tension.
Yeah, and that, again, in our book, we talk about processes. So the part of all of this is to have processes. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But beyond processes, everything we're discussing today is beyond a wonderful process. How do you now get into what I call the social psychology of trust? Right.
Yes.
How do you create that trust compression? How do you create that ongoing, I love what these guys do, and I'm not even going to look anywhere else.
Yeah.
If somebody offers something, because I'm not going to get this experience anywhere else. How do you create that? And that goes beyond processes.
It does. Yeah. There's a very human element to it.
Correct. And which, by the way, in my opinion, the digital world can make it easier than even in person.
Tell me more on that. Where do you see the digital world make it easier to have the warm handoffs and the human connection?
Perfect example. So I'll give you an example. One of the first firms I started working with was in Walnut Creek. I actually took an office inside of that firm, and I taught the head attorney over there, one of the founders, to tell my story effectively and then walk the client over to my office, which was clear across the other side of the firm.
Yeah.
And then sit him down and say, this is Patrick that I was talking about. Patrick, meet my client. And then he would walk out, right?
Yeah.
Well, in a digital world, Dane, that attorney can now be in Virginia.
Yes.
Right? He doesn't need to be here physically, right? So that makes it easier. The second thing that makes it easier is things such as webinars, for example.
Yeah. Right?
In a physical world, I'd have to ask my client to hand the business card to their cousin or to their coworker or whatever, in order to do some business with me, or somebody else, their golf buddy, right?
Yeah.
In a digital world, I can send one of my 5-minute webinars to a client and say, if you know somebody that you care about, share this with them.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, you know what we've got? We've got a QR code that leads to our calendar.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it makes it easier to do what I call digital lollipops. So I think the digital world makes it easy if you understand how to use them.
That's really cool.
If you misuse it, what ends up happening, it becomes a cold activity, a cold connection. Yeah.
Which is where you just throw them the phone number or the email and you haven't done the in-person handoff.
Throwing them the phone number or throwing, say, an intake form to someone and say, or throwing Dane's name to someone and say, yeah, Dane's going to take care of you, right?
Yeah.
Where in a digital world, I have the opportunity to walk in your office for 3 minutes through a Zoom call, introduce a client, walk out, build you up, you're gold now, and then an hour later, I'm in someone's office in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I can do that. So digital world gets rid of geography, right? And it makes it easy to
That's
do
cool.
identification.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's enjoyable. There is a, we had Chris Schembra on the show, who's the gratitude guru, and he talks about sharing gratitude. And often if you do something that's mildly inconvenient for you, for someone else, you're actually showing a great deal of gratitude and belief and trust in them. So the fact that if I was recommending someone to you, Patrick, that I said, hey, Claire, let's get on a phone call with Patrick. I want to take the time to introduce you in person, that you feel grateful, the individual feels grateful, and it's another one of those kind of triangular, exactly. you know, reinforcements.
Hey, I love that, by the way. I love the two terms you've used, like as something that's mildly inconvenient does provide gratitude, right?
That yeah.
You said, but the reason why we created that more than anything is to get rid of the digital noise. So I talk about that a lot in our trainings, and I say, look, even if I connected you a warm email that I connected Dane and this person I want to introduce to, it's one of 100 emails I get on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Right? Now, people just scan through emails. Now I've got to click on that, respond to Dane. That's great. But nothing beats getting on your calendar for 10 minutes, bringing the client personally, doing a warm introduction, and then walking out. Let me tell you, every time that meeting happens, I've never missed a meeting.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be there, and I've never had anybody sit their arms crossed saying, "Show me what you're all about." They're just leaning forward. Right? It's just that that edification works every single time.
There's another psychology here which is interesting. Like as a leader, I've often said to two department managers, "Hey, you guys, there's a problem here. Can you put your heads together and get it done?" And the problem with that is that they're both busy. The boss just dropped something on them. And now they have to find time and headspace to go and work it together. Whereas if I, as a leader, say to the two department heads, hey, I need to bring you guys together because I see there's a problem here between sales and accounting. And I just want to walk it through. I know you're brilliant. So let's do that. It's hard not to schedule, and it's equally hard to reschedule a meeting where you've put three people together. So you have to honor each other a little bit more than just the one-on-one meeting.
You got it. That's actually very true on existing staff members. And by the way, a lot of the concepts in the book do reflect that as well. So you could read that and just replace the word client with a staff member.
Yeah.
But they're part of keeping staff is in there. But again, back to an example, whenever I recently had a client who was in need of a CPA and another one that was in need of an estate planning attorney, right?
Uh-huh.
This was my process day. And I said, Mr. Client, let me tell you a little bit about this attorney. Here's the three reasons why I love him, his personal story, right? And I said, hold on. I'm going to check the attorney's calendar. Oh, he's available on Monday at 1:15. I'm going to schedule it. I'm going to be there myself for a few minutes to introduce you. Don't miss that appointment, right?
Yeah.
Now it's locked. That appointment is not going to get missed, right? It's
correct.
A committed appointment. And when I walked into that meeting, introduced the attorney, by the end of that, the client was ready to do business.
Yeah, love the attorney, that.
Right? So a lot of what we're talking about is based on client acquisition, but to your point, it does extend to existing team members because even something as simple as scheduling an appointment to figure out a problem.
Yeah, they're all transactions, whether it's internal or external, which leads me to my final question. As you think about teamwork across organizations in your network, there's a lot of literature, there's a lot of dialogue out there around partner drag and, you know, there's always a free rider effect and building effective referral partnerships is hard. Mm-hmm. Does your model actually have an incentive? Are there, referral fees being passed around, or is it just the power of the network that we just kind of, what goes around comes around and we just help each other?
That's a great question. So I would say maybe about a third of the partners where legal and allowed would share fees with each other. Obviously,
yeah.
I won't do anything illegal. But the majority of the partners, the reason they're here is simply because they're no longer what I call a single shingle business. Like take me for an example, right? When I tell my personal story to a client, I say, Mr. Client, this is what I do and this is my story, but let me show you my digital back office.
Yeah.
And I open this digital back office and there's 200 professionals sitting at desks over there. And I virtually walk them through a few desks and say, anything you need, these people can take care of, right? I'm basically Brilliant. Clicking through sites. By the time I'm done with that 30-second intro, Dane, there is nothing else that compares from a value proposition, right?
Yeah.
So to answer your question, the reason why many of the members are part of this network is because we supercharge their practice using this. They become what I call the Costco of professional services to their client rather than a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Right?
So the client walks in and you know, you walk into Costco these days, everything from tires to solar to, I don't know, anything Costco doesn't sell these days, right?
Yeah.
Or you can walk out of there with everything in your life. So that's really what we've created, is this ability to be able to help everybody. And again, that those concepts can be created in a small ecosystem.
Yep.
It can be created as we've done across the country. And there is no limit once you figure out how to use edification and how to use trust compression, put that together with proper systems.
That's super cool. I just love the fact that, you know, in more than half of the cases, you've got team members creating value for each other.
Correct.
Just because it's the right thing to do and it feels good, not because there's a direct dollar driven outcome, which is powerful.
It is. I said the dollar only goes so far. The ability to be able to be more for the client is what everybody is looking for. That's, you know, better services, retention, etc. That's what this whole idea is.
That's so cool, Patrick. Well, this has been a wonderfully refreshing and insightful conversation. I mean, it's a really unique way that you guys have built the program, built the community, and, you know, this concept of inter-office, inter-industry storytelling, collaboration, the edification piece of really building each other up, I think is just so wholesome and exciting. Like, I can see why people would want to be part of that. And I can see it being a great practice for any team or team of teams. I thought the way that you explained the warm handoff and just the power of that warm handoff and the trust compression is huge and very powerful for any teams that are looking to play well with other organizations or across departments. And overall, this general concept of digital can be a superpower. It can allow you to go much further and wider, but you also need to be aware of reducing the digital noise. I like that kind of construct. You're playing both sides of it. So many great insights and tips. Thank you for sharing that time. And if any of our listeners want to find you and the National Referral Network or the book, where do they best connect?
Well, the book is on Amazon, A Firm Worth Building. They can look it up or look up my name or anybody else, any of the members. The National Referral Network is nrnamerica.com. They can hop on there and take a look at it, or just reach out to us. We're ultimately the gatekeepers of that network, making sure everybody who comes in there knows how to play nice in the sandbox and get to the next level.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like a sandbox that a lot of teams are going to have fun playing in. So I recommend it highly. And thanks again for your time today, Patrick.
It was a pleasure being here, Dane. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Remember that by embracing vulnerability, trusting our intuition, and approaching challenges with compassion, we not only strengthen our teams, but also pave the way for a future where collaboration thrives. If you're hungry for more insights, strategies, and research on collaboration, head over to thefutureofteamwork.com. There, you can join our mailing list to stay updated with the latest episodes and get access to exclusive content tailored to make your team thrive. Together, we can build the future of teamwork. Until next time,